Jesus, thank you that we can be here today. Thank you that you are here above all. Thank you that through your Spirit you come and speak into our hearts. Thank you that man's faith and our faith will not be based today on my words or any joke or any eloquent speech, but on your Spirit and power. So please come and stir and build a great faith in us. Come in with your word as a sword and come and dissect, come and discern, and come and help us and even discipline us in the right ways of the Lord so that we can truly follow after Jesus and the real and authentic gospel of the word, nothing else, nothing more, nothing less, just the gospel of the word, the full Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. So just quickly, I'm very excited to see on social media, and as Sam said this morning, and many people, everybody wants to know what's the vision for 2020, all right? I'll quickly maybe ask, do you have a vision for this year? Edna's got a vision? Hallelujah. Anybody else got a vision for this year? Two, three. Anybody else? Not many people. But who gets excited about fresh vision? Okay, so you get excited. Great. Now in 3 weeks' time, or two, 3 weeks' time on a Sunday, when everybody's hopefully back from holiday and nobody's caravanning anymore, we're going to share what the Lord, maybe theme-wise, vision-wise, have laid on our hearts for our church. Now, in charismatic circles, visions are very big, and vision for a year themes are very big. You've seen our hashtags this last couple of years, and it helps just to draw us together. So there's a unity that we can pull together in a certain direction. There's a flip side to that as well that I've been pondering and thinking about often, is that we need to be careful to be too much vision-driven and have these hashtags and have these nice themes, yet we lack some of the basic things of Christianity. Because, you know, there's a couple of visions in the Word. There's a couple of themes in the Word already, and it's been there for 2,000 plus years, and it hasn't changed. It doesn't change in new seasons. It doesn't change when there's a new hype or a new fad or a new CD or a new book or a new conference. It doesn't change. It is still there. One of them that's pretty important, a vision for me this year, is love God. Okay, that's kind of good. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And go make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything that I've taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So these are a couple of things like walk by the Spirit and not in the flesh. Things like we need to be a people of faith, and without faith it is impossible to please God. So there's a couple of things that's paramount to our walk with the Lord that we shouldn't forget. Now, coming back maybe to last year, what was the vision or the heart last year in our church? Who remembers? Jesus is enough. Yes, hallelujah. Philip was pretty kerk. But for the rest of you guys, Philip knows, but it was Jesus is enough. And what was the basis on which we built? What was the main thing we built on and wanted to build on last year? The Sermon on the Mount. Yes, why? Because we want to be a people that build our house on the rock. Christ, His revelation, and His truth. Now, maybe quickly ask you this. Jesus is enough. The heart of that. Has it changed since New Year's? No. Will it ever change? No. Who remembers our theme, Go Low, where the Lord called us as a church community into humility? Has it changed? Is it still applicable? Yes, amen. So you get it. Those visions are still very applicable. The Sermon on the Mount stays applicable. It's not that. So you need to keep on building your house on the rock. In fact, we're going to finish that sermon series today. We're going to try to. Where I'm getting at is just in charismatic circles, we just need to be careful to be all vision-orientated and forget the basics that we called upon to love God, love our neighbor, and to walk from that place, to be a people of faith, to walk by the Spirit, not the flesh. Literally, to spend time in the Word, to pray. That's a pretty good vision there. Daily read your Bible and pray. And so I want to encourage you. Who's seen, now I'm going to put my foot in it. Who's seen a lot of vision talk around 2020 this year? 2020 vision, you know, that's where you see perfectly. Okay, so there's a couple of things. Now, I'm a loving pastor, so Some of that might be amazing stuff, but I also want you just to be careful. If somebody says that this year we're going to have 2020 vision and this is the perfect vision and we're going to see and this is exactly what the Lord says, just be careful. That's maybe what I want to say. Scripture says that we see in part and understand in part. Scripture did not change on the 1st of January. One day, when Christ returns, what does the word says then? We're going to see perfectly. We're going to behold perfectly. We're going to know Him as He knows us. In other words, all of this looking into a mirror, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, will be gone. And then we'll be able to see 2020. So I, as your pastor, will not be able to see spiritually 2020 this year. I'm very sorry. Even though it's year 2020. And neither would you. And neither does that book, that CD, or that conference that might promote it. I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. There might be very legit stuff, but just be careful. Scripture stays scripture. And let's be careful around these visions. Going back to what we said last year, and I'm going to finish up very briefly on a last part of Matthew 7 that we didn't finish. I was so stirred, and I want to encourage you to keep on meditating on the Word. Meditate on the Gospels. If you don't have time for the Old Testament, if Leviticus and Numbers is just a bit too chewy this time of the year, dig into Matthew. Dig into John. Go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Even if you tell me, Ruthie, for the next 5 years, I'm only going to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, trust me, you're going to be in good stead. It's better than Instagram, Facebook, and a lot of Super Rugby. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy there. But it's so much better, so let's spend time in the Word. Let's go to the first one, knock, seek, and ask. This morning we saw that there's a couple of people that say, man, I need joy. And it's there for the taking. It's there by the Spirit that lives inside of you. But I believe the Word and Christ also calls us to knock, to seek, and to ask. Who's ever been desperate for something in their life? Anybody? You're human. You've got a flesh. So that's definitely all of us. What was it? Anybody willing to share? It needs to be something you can share in church. Everybody been desperate for something? Come on. Come on. For money. Great, thank you. Did you knock, seek, and ask? Yes, you did. You went through certain difficult things to attain what you needed or wanted in that case. Anybody else? What was it that you really wanted that you went after? For a good marriage partner. Yeah, you knocked, seeked, and you asked. That's good. That's good. Anything else? Where did you knock, seek, and ask? Restoration. Amen. That's beautiful. I've knocked, seek, and asked for a bucky. Maybe on your Mihan's page, to be honest. For a good holiday. It need not be all spiritual. It can be. For wisdom, that's a better one. I really had this, since I've been saved, I really had this heart for wisdom, having true wisdom. Not knowledge, wisdom. In other words, what God thinks of something, what the right way is to do something. Salvation for your children. So you knocked, seeked, and asked. And so if you want to be a person that built your house on the rock, lastly, we're going to finish off today, two legs quickly, and we're just going to look at the scripture because we don't have much time. It's these two parts of scripture. And we're going to take it in, and I think it links actually beautifully with what Sam said. If you want to know what the Lord's plan is for the season, and by the way, the Lord is not limited to our 12-month span. He doesn't stop and change. It's like, oh man, I didn't finish that work in Retief's heart on the end of December, so I'll just leave it there. No, He goes on. But He uses our faith. He uses our zeal. He uses the fact that we get excited when something is fresh and new. God uses that as well. And so when you get quiet and you quiet down yourself before the Lord, I want you and I want to challenge you myself. Let's not just ask, and if you don't hear anything, move on. Let's knock, seek, and ask. If there's a problem, who's ever faced a big problem in their life? A mountain. Who's ever then asked the Lord for an answer but did not receive anything? Scripture says you needed to keep knocking. Scripture says you needed to keep asking. Scripture says you needed to keep seeking. Let's read. Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. That word will there means in the Greek means will. That's a joke. It means will. In other words, it's not might sometimes. This is a promise of God. This is a promise of God. It's more solid than the ground I'm standing on. It's more, very, much more solid than the plastic chair you're sitting on. But this is solid. And this will means will. Keep searching and you will find. I really had this desperate hunger going, moving into law, becoming a lawyer. I just wanted to know what true justice is. What is true wisdom? And I know God has given me some of that. I don't have Solomon's wisdom all the time. No, I don't. You can ask my wife. But there's moments where I know this is God. This is His wisdom. And I want to encourage you, keep searching. What is that one thing that's so important to you in this season? What is that one thing for your life? What is that one thing for your family? Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will, again will, be opened. Not might, will. What man among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then who are evil, boom, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. This is the law and the prophets. So it's weird. You ask, you knock, you seek for yourself, and it, you will find, you will receive, and it ends off by, do to others that you want them to do for you. We're going to link those two just now. So let's quickly break open this part of Scripture. So who of you guys said that I've been in seasons where I've knocked, seeked, and asked? Lots of moments, lots of hours. Who of you? Just put up your hand. Come on. And who's seen the breakthrough thereafter? It's sweet. I can maybe also say, who of the ladies have ever been in labor? But it's sweet when it's done, or mostly sweet when it's done. But it's a bit of a labor. It's a knocking, seeking, and asking, fighting. And likewise in the Spirit, sometimes with prophecies and the promises of the Lord, we need to wrestle. We need to knock, seek, and ask. We need to carry this baby, this promise of God, until it comes to fruition. But it's beautiful, and it's pure, and it's amazing when it does happen. Now, what's a couple of things that I've noted in this Scripture? You need to have faith and a persistent hunger. You want to follow the Lord this year, you need to walk by faith. You want to keep on belonging to the Lord and following the Lord this year, you need a persistent hunger. Do you want to truly see breakthrough in those areas? Do you want to truly see breakthrough in your street and community? Do you truly want to see breakthrough in this church community? You need faith and a persistent hunger. You need to keep on keeping on. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. What is faith again? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So in other words, you're trusting God, not based on things that you see, but on the unseen, because you've got this relationship, because the Holy Spirit reminds you of things, He shows you things, you read stuff in the Word, and you have this faith, a substance on your inside, a substance in your inner man that you just believe this thing that other people might think is bonkers. But you need that. So whatever those things are that you're going to trust the Lord for, you need to be able to keep on keeping on. You want to see that redemption? Keep on keeping on. You want to be a man of wisdom? Keep on keeping on. You want to be wealthy in a godly way? You want to make that money that the Lord wants to give you? Keep on keeping on. You want to hit that goal and it's godly? Keep on keeping on. Keep on knocking. You want to see breakthrough in your family? You want to see breakthrough in your community? Don't stop persisting. Don't lose your hunger. Don't forsake your faith. Who's ever been challenged to give up their faith in an area? We've got a couple of liars in church this morning. All of us. All of us. All of us. Because the next thing here is, what I see in the Scripture, is there's a battle. There's a freaking battle. It's a battle. There's two kingdoms that constantly collide. We want God's will to be done. We want to see that breakthrough. We want to see the godly offspring. We want to see godly fruit in our life. We want to see godly things happen in our businesses. We want to see godly things happen in our church, our communities, our schools. We want to see godly provision come through. But it's a battle. Why do I need to keep knocking, seeking, asking? Because it's a battle. You're in a war. Who went away on December holiday? I was lucky enough to do. I did not escape the war. there was still a war on holiday. The moment you give your life to the Lord, you enter a war. You only leave that war the moment you go to heaven. I'm very sorry for maybe bursting your 2020 bubble, but you're going to keep on warring until you go home. It's not all war. There's mountaintop moments. There's peace. There's joy. There's a bunch of other stuff. But you're constantly going to be part of this battle between two kingdoms. That's the one battle. And then there's another battle in your own being. What is that battle? The spirit and the flesh. So there's two kingdoms colliding, the enemy's kingdom and God's kingdom. Whose will be done in this morning in this school? A bunch of people could have said no. Other stuff could have been stolen and things couldn't have worked out. By the grace of God, everything worked out. And this morning, the kingdom is hopefully coming in this place. But there was another kingdom that didn't want that to happen. Say for that, leading, other people volunteering, there's battles in their lives, flesh, spirit battles. There's maybe some of the people in our church that didn't win the battle of the flesh and stayed at home this morning. They needed to hear this word. I don't know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. Just putting it out there. But the word says, keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. Push through. You're part of this war, but let the Lord win it. The third thing that I've noted in this part of Scripture is, if you keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking, make sure that you ask for the right stuff. Because you can keep on knocking, and you can keep on asking, and you can keep on seeking something, but it's totally ungodly. Will the Lord then grant you that? Hopefully not. If He's a good Father, beautifully how He puts that. He says, keep knocking, keep asking, and then He says, what master, what MD, one CEO, what boss will not give you? Did He say that in the Word? No, He said, what father? So there's a relational element here. So we see we need faith, we need to persist. Secondly, we see that there's a war. But thirdly, we see that we need to ask for the right stuff. And then relationally, it's a father-son relationship here. When we do ask for the things of life, when we do ask for the things that we need to make sure, what are we asking for? Here's the beautiful thing of a father, maybe just an add-on. I've asked for and prayed for and fought for the wrong things. But as I relationally go to God and I keep on knocking and keep on asking, what happens? I enter His presence. I go into His Word. I keep on knocking for this wrong thing. Let's call it a Ferrari for the sake of a better... There's a bit of a cliche example, but let's call it a Ferrari. Now, I'm a pastor leading a church in Sunningdale. There's a couple of churches around. But if I want a red Ferrari of 1.5-2 million rand, do you think that's God's heart? It might be pretty weird. But anyway, let's pretend it's not, because I believe it's not His heart. If I keep on knocking and asking, and I quote Scripture and I prophesy and I throw the prosperity gospel in there and I keep on going after it, am I going to get that Ferrari, yes or no? No. But say, for instance, I fast and I pray and I go into Scripture. What's going to happen in the process of, let's say, 6 months where I keep on knocking, asking, seeking? What's going to happen, do you believe, if God is a good Father? He's going to change my desire. He's going to change my heart. So even in the process of knocking, seeking, and asking, and even if you've been asking for the wrong stuff, I believe our good God will still give you the right stuff. He will still bless you with His will if you persist. But if in month 3 I decide, well, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to harden my heart. I'm going to go back into law. I'm going to work hard and I'm going to buy my own bloody Ferrari. I'll probably do that. But I'm going to lose God's heart. So even in asking for the wrong stuff, I believe God will lead us unto the right things. If you, in the process, humble yourself and let His Word and other godly people minister to you. But the test is this. Ask for the right things. James says the following. You can go to the next slide if you don't mind. You crave what you do not have. You kill and covet, but are unable to obtain it. You quarrel and fight. Who's ever had that in their home? Yes, we do. Who's got children? You can put up your hand. You do not have because you do not ask. So he says, yes, you need to ask. Pray. Ask God the Father. But James is quite hardcore. Let's listen up. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may squander it on your pleasures. Other translations says lusts. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever chooses to be a friend of the world renders himself an enemy to God. So that's pretty hardcore. So if in my pursuit of my red Ferrari, I just look upon the scripture and I test my motives, I test my heart, and I think about the practicalities of that. It's going to look pretty weird in front of Sunningdale Primary on a Sunday morning. I might take all of your kids to the trick ball, make a couple of extra bucks with it. But anyway, it might not be a godly thing to do, to squander it upon my own lust. And so the Lord says, be careful. Matthew 5, 6 says, hunger and thirst for righteousness. When you knock, seek, and ask, make sure that the subject of your asking, your knocking, your seeking is that which can keep right standing with God. Amen? Does it make sense? Am I saying that you can never trust the Lord for a car? Did anybody hear that? Not even an expensive car. No, I did not say that. There might be somebody under the sun, on this earth, Mother Earth, that is a Christian, that's got a different context than I have, that in this season is praying for a red Ferrari, and it will be permissible by God. Put that in your pot. I'm just saying. We need to be careful not to jump into a religious, dead religious trap either. It might be permissible for them, but it's not for me. Why, at least not in this season, until I move to America. Now I'm joking, I'm not going to America. I'm staying. Unless the Lord wants me to go. Anyway, don't have time for that rabbit hole. But if you constantly ask, I believe He will change your heart, as rightly said this morning. Last thing, or second last thing, quickly out of this part of the scripture is, when you knock, you seek and you ask. And when we see that it is relationally, and it is not a slave, boss, contracting relationship, it's a father-son relationship, father-daughter relationship. But when you keep knocking, asking, seeking, what is important for us to persist, what is important for us to keep the faith, what is important for us to not lose hope when we knock, seek, and ask, even if it takes years, is that we keep on trusting the character of God. Man, oh man, oh man, this is so important. In our season in Malmesbury, after a number of years, being without employment, without cash flow, nothing coming through, still knocking, seeking, asking, crying, praying in the evening, really doing what we think we should do for not only a couple of weeks, not only a couple of months, but for years, and nothing coming through. I have shared this moment before. There was a moment one day where I know that I was at the space where I was hardening my heart. I was turning my heart away from the God. What am I doing then? I'm questioning the identity of God. I'm questioning the goodness of God. I'm questioning the character of God. I'm questioning what the Word says about Him. Pietriso Apti said this morning, it's not only feeling-based. It's not feeling per se. Sometimes it's a choice. Do you believe God is good? Somebody loses their life all of a sudden. Do you still believe God is good? Something atrocious happened and you don't see how God's going to let it play out for the good at the end of the day, do you still believe in His goodness? Because it will be tested. And whatever you're standing in faith for, whatever you're going to fight for in 2020, whatever you're going to fight for in the seasons of your life, not only for yourself, but for your spouse and for your kids, and for those you love, whatever you're going to keep knocking, seeking, and asking for, you need to hold steadfast, you need to be anchored in a good character of God. Because the moment the enemy comes and he steals that, you're going to lose that zeal. You're going to lose that persistency. You're going to lose your faith. What did the enemy come to do with Jesus? He said to him, if you are the Son of God, if. What did he do to Adam and Eve? Did God really say? So we will often question. Just question those things. Just question the trust that you have in the Lord. And so be careful of that. The last thing that we're quickly going to link. Verse 11 says, and that's number 5, love. You can go to number 5 if you don't mind. Thank you. You can see that at the end of this part of Scripture, it says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? So up until there, we understand. We're in this relationship with the Lord. The Lord says, when you follow me, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. In other words, persist. Be a man of faith. Be a woman of faith. Know that you're in a war. Win this arm wrestle with me. Go for the things that the Lord has laid on your heart. Go for it. But then all of a sudden it switches around and he speaks about other people. Verse 12 says, therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. This is the law and the prophets. I was thinking, how weird is this? It's all about me. It's about my battle. It's about going for my Ferrari. It's about my breakthrough and the things that the Lord has called me for. And all of a sudden, you talk about other people. But there's a beautiful link, I believe, there. It says, therefore. What does therefore mean? Therefore links these two ideas. The one that is, come on, go for it. Fight hard. Believe in faith. Seek the Lord. Knock, seek, and ask. Don't sit down. Don't give up. Run on. And then it says, therefore, care for others. Therefore, do it unto them. In my context, in the weird example, it would have been, Retief, will you sell a Ferrari? Will you give away a Ferrari? Therefore means, for that reason, or then, or consequently. So he says, God is good. He will give you those things. Knock, seek, ask. But consequently, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Good example in my life. I have a passion and a dream that God's church and his people will be debt free, will not be bogged down by financial debt. Am I saying and ministering that all debt is wrong and that in all contexts all debt is wrong? No, I'm not saying that. So please don't go into a rabbit hole. Just hear the plain simplicity of what I say. I just have this childlike heart that I see the God's people especially bogged down by debt, that they cannot move and do the things maybe that they're called for. I've got a passion for that. Likewise, in my life, I want to be debt-free. I don't want debt. By the way, this is not, I'm not saying anything but the simple thing that I'm saying. So please don't hear other stuff in Jesus' name. And so I've got this passion since, you can ask Edna, since we've been married, that I want to be debt-free. And as far as possible, I want to do everything debt-free. But I also live according to faith and as the Lord called me. So sometimes we've gone into crazy debt. I've even made debt upon debt. Who knows that that is like, that's like satanic in the world. It's not right. But God is, and then God does a miracle. And so I've been doing this thing relationally with the Lord. I've got a real passion for it. Long story short, I keep on knocking, keep on asking. I've had the Men's Monday guys standing and praying and standing in faith that the Lord will deliver us all and that we will be debt free as a people so that we can be givers, that we can be free to follow the Lord and do what he calls us all to do. Long story short, so the Lord then came and he said, well, the scripture. You knock, seek, and ask. Are you willing to be the instrument in somebody else's life that they can be debt-free? Now, I'm not going to share all the details of what the Lord has been doing in our life and what he's called us to do. But he challenged me as I'm knocking, seeking, and asking, say, Lord, make me debt-free. We want to be debt-free. He just turned, he flipped it on me and said, but what about this person? I was in a conversation. All of a sudden, it dawned on me, do unto others. And you see, this is the beautiful thing of the gospel. This is the beautiful thing of the Lord. Is we going to knock, seek, and ask, who does the good work? Quick, God does the good work. Okay, who does he often use? Us. Amen. Who of you want a good friend? Who of you have knocked, seeked, and asked for a good friend? Amen. God's calling you to go and be a good friend. Who of you wanted to be invited to a braai? Who's prayed and said, Lord, I want to go to a nice braai? Invite somebody to a nice braai. Who's ever wanted to be blessed with a car? God might call you to bless somebody with a car. Am I dishing or putting up a formula for you? No. I'm not saying this is not a slot machine. But it's just showing the heart of God. It involves people and it involves love, and it's never about myself alone. When you pursue, when you knock, when you seek, you ask, don't forget about the people around you. Don't forget about others. If you're standing in faith for the healing of somebody that's got cancer in your family, don't forget about the neighbor who's lost their person or who's got somebody suffering. If you are hungry and you're knocking, seeking, asking for that financial breakthrough, do not forget your neighbor's need as well. I don't believe it's a prerequisite. I don't believe it's a tick box, but I believe it's a heart. Don't know if that makes sense. But that's a way in which the Lord encourages us when you seek the salvation of that child of yours, do not forget the salvation of somebody next to you and their children. And when they get saved before you, or they see the breakthrough before you, trust the Lord to rejoice even more in their breakthrough. I'm going to finish the last part reading through the scripture and just quickly referring to it. But I believe there's lots of life in that knocking, seeking, and asking. I believe there's a lot of that I need in this year and that we need in our walk with the Lord. Need not forget that it's a fight. Need not forget that we need to keep the faith and be persistent in our hunger. And that the subject of what we knock, seek, and ask for need to be a godly one. But that God is gracious in that if it's not, He will purify it. He will send His fire. Life will happen. You will realize, I probably shouldn't have. I know of people that really wanted to get married to an ex, well, not to an ex, probably an ex now, but they wanted to get to a person X. And where in hindsight, years later, they realized, man, they were so not God's heart. Even though they knocked, they seeked, and they asked. Same goes for that job that you really wanted. There's a couple of jobs that I really wanted very badly. Knocked, seeked, and asked, fasted, prayed in tongues like a machine. But praise God, I didn't get it. And so trust Him in that because He gives good gifts. Going to number two quickly. Entering the kingdom. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. Why are we reading this? Why are we doing this again? Because we're still building and we keep on building our house on the rock. And there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. You can look to your neighbor and say, you're part of the fortunate few. We don't say that with arrogance or pride, but we're thankful. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Now, there's three elements in this part of Scripture, but let's just quickly stay to the first one. You can go to the next slide, the next one thereafter, just for the sake of time. Quickly, what is the narrow gate? Jesus, yes. Yes, salvation through Christ. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This year, let's keep on going through the narrow gate. How do we do that? We go back to Scripture. How do we do it? We keep on following Jesus. How do we do that? Relationally ask, Jesus, help me to follow the narrow way. Who's found Christianity in a season or so to be tough or not easy? Amen. But here's the good news again. We keep knocking, seeking, and asking. And if we do so, who's going to help us? Jesus, yes. But who's here on earth with us? The Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is there to keep on leading you through the narrow gate or then the narrow road for that sake. So this year, let's be a people of the narrow road. It might be a golden brick road, as Sam shared this morning, but it might be a pretty narrow one. Let's keep on following the Holy Spirit in that. Moving on to number two there, false prophets. There's a couple of things that's thrown into this part of Scripture, but all of them very important for us as we build on the rock. It says here, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. Who's heard good prophecies and think that it's good prophecies come from good people? Come on, who's ever thought that? Or, maybe put it this way, if somebody gives you a prophecy, it speaks right into your heart. Often things that nobody knows, only God knows. What happens then? It's good, it's nice. It is really nice to receive a prophecy. When I receive a prophecy like that, I open up. Right? And once you open up, you're vulnerable. And so the word says here, be careful. Be careful when you get a prophecy, when somebody speaks into your heart, you open up because you're vulnerable now. Be careful. Now, how are we going to test? How are we not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater? We're going to look to Scripture. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Now, very quickly, we don't have lots of time. But is a prophecy a fruit of the Spirit or part of the gifts of the Spirit? Quickly, anybody? Gifts. Okay, so in other words, They're referring to gifts. They say, if you see the gifts coming along, note the gifts. No. They say, if the gifts come along, receive the gifts, but test by the fruit. It's beautiful. Amen? So Father Christmas, I don't believe in Father Christmas, but it's a good example. If Father Christmas comes along with gifts for your kids, I'll receive the gifts, but I'm not going to leave them alone with him because I don't know him. I don't know if he can bribe a choppy. I don't know if he can make a bribe rookie. Oh, no, I don't. I don't know the fruit of his life. I don't know after he's come down the chimney how many whiskies he's going to have and what he's going to watch on TV with my kids. So I can thank you very much for the Christmas. Remember, this is a hypothetical, ridiculous example. So please don't run away thinking this pastor's lost the plot. It's just a good illustration. So if he's come down the chimney and has a couple of whiskeys and watches very bad stuff on TV with my kids, I see the fruit. So I say, thank you very much for the gift, but out you go, Father Christmas. So that's the same way with false prophets. We're not going to judge them. We're not going to judge them by the gift because the gift is from God and it's irrevocable. The goodness that's all there is actually from God, not from the person. So if this morning, by the grace of God, I accurately gave a prophetic word to anybody in church, it doesn't say much about my character. It says much about God. I think that makes sense. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit, not the gifts. What is the gifts? What is the fruit that we need to look out for? Galatians 5:22-23 says the following. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so look out for that. So, yes, thank you very much for the gift. Thank you for the prophecy. I'll go and test it. And if it's true, I'll take it. Thank you so much. But I'm still not going to trust you with my whole life. I'm not going to follow you wholeheartedly just because there's a gift of prophecy on your life. So be careful. Does it only go for prophecy? No, it goes for all of the gifts. So wherever you go and you read a book or you have a CD pack, you're not in that person's home. You know, you want to know what the things are, Edna? What's the things that I really need work on? It's definitely, what's forbearance again? Patience. God needs to work much more patience in my life. Okay? Other thing I struggle with is gentleness. I'm harsh at home. I'm not that harsh in front in church. I'm just being honest. That's a place where I need to grow. That's a place where my character lacks. That's a place that I've been in tears before the Lord and say, Lord, why do I go off the handle so quickly? I'm hot-tempered. I've got a lot of zeal in the kingdom, which is good, positive. But I've got a bit of wrong zeal sometimes when I'm under pressure. So gentleness is an area where I need to... Self-control is better these days. It wasn't that good 15 years ago. So there's places where... So now, are you not going to take any of my prophecies? No, I believe there's a place where we can grow and have grace. But there's a certain amount of gentleness that if I go and shoot a couple of people in road rage, I might not be back next week to prophesy. You understand what I'm saying? So please don't judge people out there the whole time. I'm just using myself as an example. Receive the gifts. Don't be too harsh on people, but check out for the fruit of their lives. And also have grace that we all can grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Because we all need that. For you remember last week we said no man is good. So I'm not saying that I'm good, but neither do we know that anybody is good save for the grace of Christ. Moving on to the last part. Truly Lord. And this is the end of Matthew 7 and of the series. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's something to listen to. That's something to sit upright and take to heart. But only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. So this is now just before we got to our very well-known part of the house on the sand and the rock, which we're not going to go back. So this is the last part of the Sermon on the Mount for us as a church, number 22. This is quite hectic. Who of you have said that Jesus is Lord of your life? I think all of us, yes. Who knows that even that can be a problem if we don't truly make him Lord of my life? Who's ever heard of lip service? Recently helping my sister to buy a car. And so you get people with lots of lip service, but you need to test the fruit again. Beautiful how here you see again how you can either be a Christian, you can be in church, you can be in ministry, you can do mighty miracles for the Lord, but relationally, he might turn to you and say, I do not know you. So even if you or even if I do mighty miracles and I'm for miracles, I want to see much more miracles in our church community. I want to see much more miracles in my own life. I want my children to know that it's just absolutely normal where people get supernaturally healed. I want my children just to see how people just get whacked by the Holy Spirit and it's just so normal. But yet those gifts and those outpourings and those encounters of the Holy Spirit per se is not only it. He calls us into relationship. And to do the will of the Father. So I want to encourage us this year. May he not only be Lord, Lord of my life, but may he be truly Lord of my will and my being and my life. How can we test that? Is that I walk in the will of the Father. And how will we do that? Just practically, quickly, as we end. How will we do that? Guys, we need a plan. How are we going to do that? To seek him, yes. Hear his voice, yes. Surrender, yes. I like all of that. How else are we going to do that? Maybe challenge one another. Ritif, where did you get that Ferrari? Lord, Lord. No. That's maybe a fruit of unrighteousness there. So how else? Anybody? Any last thing? How are we going to not only give him lip service, but do the will of the Father? Relationship with him. Relationship, relationship. All of this included. Relationship, relationship, relationship. What happened last year, September, on the Feast of Trumpets, that particular day in our church? What was the message of the Lord to us? Arise, wake up, awake the wise virgins. Referring to the wise and foolish virgins. What did the Lord say to the unwise or the foolish virgins? He said, depart from me, I do not know you. What did he say to the wise virgin? He said, enter, come in. So it's exactly a parallel to the story. He said, come in. What was the difference between the two? One had oil, one didn't have oil. One had relationship, intimacy, communion with the Lord. And the other one just gave lip service, but did their own thing. Church, the Lord calls us, if we want to build our house on the rock, not to only give him lip service and Lord, Lord, not to have a fissy bumper sticker, or have him on Facebook and all different memes and stuff, like I do, but also to live him out in the will of the Father, in real life. Will you stand with me? Let us pray. God, we thank you for this season. We thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for all the good food and the challenges and the moment of encountering your truth, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it will ring true for much, much, much longer in all of our lives. And Lord, I pray that it will bear much fruit in all of our lives. This morning, we thank you, Lord, that you grant us the grace, Lord, to be a people that knock, seek, and ask for the right stuff, firstly, but not to give up. Lord, I pray for a grace and anointing over us as a church, those that are here and those that are not here. Just collectively that we will be a people that do not give up. That we will run and not grow weary. That we will walk and not faint. That we will knock, seek, and ask. Knock, seek, and ask. And wherever there's things in hearts of people in this church where we're knocking, seeking, and asking, but the subject of it, the heart of it is not you, thank you that you'll graciously just come and change. If there's areas we've not sought and asked for years and you've not seen breakthrough, Lord, may we test again what your heart is. But may we also be reminded and encouraged this morning through your Spirit of the Pharisees, Lord, that for 13 years knocked, sought, and asked until they received their first child. We're reminded of that testimony, Lord. We're reminded of the testimony of Abram. We're reminded of the testimony of Joseph, who for a number of years had to endure much affliction before he saw the fruition of the promises of God. God, give deep faith to us as a people in this church. Not to give up in a week, not to give up in a season, not to give up in a year, not to give up in a decade, but to hang on, to keep knocking, to keep seeking and asking for as long as ever it might take. But for the right stuff. If that's your heart for your own life, just say amen to that. Lord, and then may we be a people that choose the narrow gate and the narrow road daily. Again, if you need help from the Holy Spirit and want to do that daily, just say, Lord, help me. If you need help with that, just say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Then if you want to discern well so that you don't fall for the tricks of false prophecy and false things that is not the gospel, maybe just ask the Lord again through His Spirit to help you to discern this year. Thank you, Lord, also that in this moment I just realized that we need not be worried about the false if we know the authentic. Lord, thank you. We don't have to get onto the internet. We don't have to Google every single thing to try to figure out the false. We just need to spend more time with the authentic. We just need to spend more time with the living waters, the fountain of life, the tree of life, with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Just more time there, and we'll immediately note when the false comes around. So thank you, Lord, that we will not be dragged away by empty searches as well. And then lastly, Lord, we want you to be truly Lord of our life by doing the will of the Father. That is your heart. Just raise your hand and we can just pray and we can just bring our faith together. Lord, thank you that we'll be a people in this year, in the season, in the seasons to come for us and our households, that not only say, Lord, Lord, but that we actually know you. By being led by your Spirit, by knowing the will of God, and by following Him. May we graciously bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Please anoint us afresh. Keep us safe for us and this whole church community. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.